And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Okay, we are back here at Longwell's Hail Varsity Radio Roadshow Thursday. We're the good luck charm. We'll claim it for Nebraska as they're able to take down Maryland 69-61. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone back at our studios. Apologies for that little hiccup there, but hey, Nebraska fans are excited. Nebraska's still alive. And you look at the Nebraska game plan, that was major today for the Big Red to get a victory, to find a way to, well, survive in advance. That's the name of the this time of month. And you look at some of the big-time players for Nebraska stepping up, Roby and Palmer, and, of course, JPJ. As Dan, thank you for that. Our connection is garbage. It's no longer garbage. I hope. You can tweet your thoughts on Nebraska basketball, the win over Maryland, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Hail Varsity, or at Two Birds, One Stone. You can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. We're down here at Longwell's, and happy hour going till 6. Great prices on some beer. I will not lie to you. I had the most amazing breakfast tacos, street tacos here, while I was sweating one out. Now, I got to ask you this question. Did you think Nebraska was gonna fumble it away? That's the question here. Did you think Nebraska was going to fumble it away? Colton, I think what we're going to do here is stay on until our 50 break and then sync up with the rest of the network. So you and I till 50 here. But were you worried in the second half? Nebraska up 32-20 going into recess. You had Bruno with 2 points. You had Cowan with 1 point. James Palmer Jr. Was playing out of his mind, hitting shots, didn't score till the 7-minute mark, and Maryland put a run together. Maryland had a 9-0 run, and then the wheels fell off, in my opinion, here when Turgeon got teed up at 8:25 left in this ball game. Maryland had cut it down to 9. Nebraska, because of the technical foul, they get a 3-pointer, they get 2 free throws. And that 9-point number moves back to 14. And that was extremely key. You get the Roby and one. And you look at Turgeon right now as we're watching here at Longwell's on their amazing TVs. Turgeon was losing his mind when it comes to the foul call. You had a Maryland player get to the rim. He got defended pretty well, I thought, by James Palmer Jr. The play earlier, Not long before that, you had Maryland, and they made a play on Roby. I thought Roby went in for a dunk and got absolutely mugged. No call there. Maryland runs out and gets 2 points in transition off of a dunk. Cowan with 18, Morsell with 14, 12 for Ayala. But Nebraska's big three, Palmer, 24, Watson, 19, and Roby, 15. Listen, Nebraska held their composure. I have not been able to say that often this year. I have not been able to say more times than not when it got tight, when the pucker factor reached level 12 out of 10, and it got there a few times this year, Nebraska didn't always respond the right way. They responded the right way today. They made enough plays. They were patient on offense. They were wonderful on defense. They got Bruno out of it. They were able to double-team the post. Maryland wasn't on fire from three. They didn't really get in rhythm, as Miles right now is hugging the assistants and still alive to fight another day. 2 o'clock tomorrow against Wisconsin as the Big Ten coverage on ESPN Lincoln. And I tell you what, it's a good feeling for Nebraska basketball to be able to answer. To be able to answer and put runs together. There is a flagrant foul that wasn't called on Watson. I think the officiating, it wasn't awful today, but they let him play down low. There was some minimal inconsistency, and quite frankly, Maryland did not handle it like they should have. Nebraska didn't blink, and that's something that's effective. Colton, we'll bring you in right now, partner. You know, we're thinking, okay, good for Nebraska. They found a way to beat Rutgers. Good for Nebraska. They had a lead and a game plan, and they were able to stay focused and answer back every time Maryland cut into the lead, cut it down to six at one point. Glenn had a big three. Palmer had a big dagger three to raise it back to nine. This is the best Nebraska's looked. You got first half. You got Nebraska v. Creighton in the first half. That's how well they played. That's how well they executed.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about, was I worried, or was that, would anyone be worried as they were going into the second half and playing through the second half? But the way they played in that first half was absolutely incredible. I mean, Bruno had no points, 2 points, whatever it was, very limited.
Two.
Yeah. Cowan had one. I mean, between the two, the guys that you were expecting to go light it up for Maryland did nothing. And they, you know, they were getting a bunch of points from freshmen and sophomores. So going into the second half, I think you have a lot of confidence, obviously, if you're a fan or the team. But then on top of that, too, when you kind of see it slowly dwindle, Maryland's trying to claw its way back, you just kind of get into a worry mode because you know they have more depth. They have not.
They're just better.
Yeah.
They're just better talent.
On paper, it's just they should have just blown the doors off. And you've just got incredible heart from the seven guys. I guess they have eight, but the seven that are in the rotation. And they did it again. And it's just incredible what they've done for three straight games.
It is. And you need that spark, don't you, Colton? You need a spark at some point. And it's interesting what had to happen and did happen against Iowa. Nebraska played in a hole against Rutgers. And then they came out, and nobody shot well. I mean, after the first media timeout, it was 5-5. There was minimal offense. This thing looks a lot prettier than the game really was at 69-61. And again, it comes back down to defense. And what Nebraska basketball team are you going to get? Are you going to get a locked-in team that's going to do the little things, going to do the grunt work, going to do the elbow grease, do the blue-collar work? You got it today, and you got it against Rutgers. You had a lot of points during the season this year where Nebraska acted like or played like they were too good to do the little things. And you know who's been the difference? It's been the Johnny Truebloods. It's been the Thors, and it's been the Borcharts. You've got some high flyers and fringe pro players, okay? You do. That said, are those guys doing the little things all the time? Nebraska survived a really tough start from Roby today. I'm not going to pick on the kid for being an 0-for-6 to start the game. He settled in and eventually hit four of his last eight shots and ended up in double digits. Nebraska, frankly, lucky to build a lead without Roby doing much. Nebraska lucky to build a lead when Palmer doesn't score till the 7-minute mark. Watson kind of got them going early. Nebraska was able to build a lead because of how focused and intense they were on defense. I can't emphasize it enough. You got kind of an old school Nebraska defensive effort that they just didn't want to commit to from time to time this year. And once they did that, they can play with anybody. And their men down, their Thomas Allen down, their Amir Harris down, their Isaac Copeland down. I mean, they are down some major talent. They are down some major athleticism, but the blue collar part of it, the ability for this Nebraska team to just keep to just want it more, has been the difference. And you know, Maryland kind of played like a Nebraska team in past weeks. Today, maybe you're chilling out a little bit too much. You got the bye, your feet are up, maybe you had a little too much deep dish, whatever. Poor little Nebraska's rolling in depleted and undermanned, and what happens? Nebraska's able to figure it out. You look at Nebraska's run here. I want to go back to Roby. Roby is 9-for-29 shooting in the Big Ten. This is a tweet from Jacob Padilla, dear friend at HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Roby in two games has scored 25 points. That's fine. He's rebounded. He's blocked shots. That's great. But 9-for-29. And the thing that made you cringe a little bit, like this thing could slip away, Nebraska's ability to hang on to the basketball, a few times. There were a few times they were just loose with the ball. And then underneath, I think they missed five or six layups today. So it's a great win for Tim Miles. It's a great win for Nebraska. We'll talk to Bill Dolman and Mike Babcock coming up next hour. So down here at Longwell's, come toast a beer as Nebraska is playing on in Chicago. 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Did you ever get worried that Nebraska wouldn't hang on to this lead against Maryland? And are you bought in? Do you think Nebraska can keep on keeping on against Wisconsin tomorrow? Can they make this thing a weekend excursion in Chicago? The last time Nebraska won two games in tournament play back in 2006 in the Big 12, they beat Oklahoma and they beat Missouri. And, you know, it was something to remember. The other part of it, too, is you're going to face a team that is all about doing the little things and being blue-collar tomorrow in Wisconsin. Wisconsin will outwork you. That's how they win. They have some shooters. They have Ethan Happ. And it'll be tough for Nebraska tomorrow. Tim Miles has made his way to the podium here in the post-game session of the Big Ten tournament. And Miles is speaking right now. And good for Miles, good for Nebraska. Here's the other part of it here that was interesting. Nebraska now 3-7 versus ranked opponents. And Nebraska now 18-15. Dare I ask, can they play their way onto the bubble if they don't win the Big Ten tournament? Can they play their way onto the bubble? Indiana got ousted today. They were another close to 500 mark squad. Mm-hmm. It'll depend, too, because eventually, think about Nebraska. Rutgers, they've been hot. They're not great. But if you go Maryland and, of course, Wisconsin consecutively, I mean, that's impressive. You heard the opening comments from Tim Miles as we came in. What will be will be. Bill Moose was not and is not in Chicago anymore. This report from Chris Basnett of the Journal Star. Bill Moose was there yesterday. Bill Moose not there today. Bill Moose is out in Berkeley for his son's spring game that'll be this weekend. So Bill Moose not in Chicago per the Journal Star. And Bill Moose is off seeing his son play in the spring game. I appreciate family. I appreciate being at juniors games, absolutely. But I don't know if that means one thing or another. How do you read into it? A quick timeout. We'll wind down an abbreviated hour one here at Longwell's as it's Hail Varsity Radio Roadshow. Nebraska survives and advances in Chicago.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back here at Longwell's, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery Roadshow Thursday. We're just going to keep showing up to Longwell's as Nebraska keeps winning in Chicago, as it's Nebraska-Wisconsin tip-off at 2 tomorrow. And what a job by the Nebraska basketball squad, specifically James Palmer Jr. and Glenn Watson, Tanner Borkart. I mean, the whole team effort. Nebraska didn't blink. They responded. They were poised. Maryland thought a lot about Maryland, and Nebraska outfought and out-hustled a pretty darn good basketball squad that was ranked as high as 8th in the country this year. And Mark Turgeon didn't help his team when he lost his mind on a non-call to the rim. There were a lot of questionable non-calls. There should have been a flagrant against Maryland when they karate-chopped Glenn at the throat. No call there, and Maryland ended up shooting free throws. So Nebraska just stayed strong and wanted it more. They did the little things, and that is absolutely what the difference was. Nebraska's 69-61 win. We're 10 minutes away from the Pride of Fairbury. NBC Sports' is Bill Dolman and longtime Husker analyst Mike Babcock. Going to be with us at 5:25. A reminder about your friends with Medata Proactive in March. It's time to get fit, and maybe you just want to improve athletic performance, or maybe you want to improve daily life. Medata Proactive can get you and help you meet those goals and get you to those goals. And they have the equipment, the classes, the staff to do it. And when you join now, you receive a great new membership special free till May 2019 with an annual contract. That's pretty big time. That's some free sweating for you when you think about it with Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake Road, 402-420-0000 to dial up. MadonnaProactive.org can log on. Also, Therapy Plus with Madonna, the Run Well program is designed to keep runners healthy. Marathon season's just around the corner. And that Run Well program provides comprehensive running evaluation in the form of video analysis. On top of that, runners are given individualized performance plan to increase strength, optimize performance, and help prevent future injuries. Three locations in Lincoln, one in West Omaha, MadonnaTherapyPlus.org. We'll take some more of your emails. Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Can tweet at us at HaleVarsity, at Schmidt_radio. Or at Two Birds, One Stone. So let's throw these out here. Couple of questions. One with Nebraska, and can chew on this, and we can get back to it here next hour as we're here at Longwell's Hail Varsity Roadshow Thursday. Did Nebraska do enough today by beating Maryland 3-7 versus ranked teams to get an NIT invite? Do you want an NIT invite? Well, let's all scream in unison, no. But this is what it may be this year. So if you have an opportunity to keep playing postseason basketball, I think you'll take it. You like how this team's finishing. You didn't like how they limped to the finish line, but at least they crossed the finish line and they're still fighting. Thanks to some personnel changes, the basketball gods, and injuries, right? So you look at this, 18-15 right now gets you to the NIT. Does getting to the Big Ten championship game, does that get Nebraska into the NCAA tournament? Not winning the whole bleeping thing, but getting to the championship game. Is that enough? We'll talk about it. Bill Dolman's on the way with Hail Varsity. Hour two, we're at Longwell's.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmidt_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmidt.
With you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here at Longwell's, as we were able to take the Nebraska coverage and watch Nebraska finish it out, hear it also on ESPN Lincoln and many of our affiliates, the Big Red taking down the Terps, surviving and advancing to Friday against Wisconsin. 466-3776, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. We welcome in the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. I believe he got the live chicken versus the fried chicken to sacrifice for this Nebraska basketball tournament run. We welcome in Bill Dolman. Billy D., how are you?
Well, pretty pumped up, actually. You know, things are going well at the World Biathlon Championships. The cross-country season is winding down, and the Huskers are doing well. So there's great things all around.
How's this happening? You've seen a lot of basketball. You've covered a lot of wacky tournaments where people get hot. And this isn't quite Jimmy V yet, but someone's going to make a movie of True Blood.
Well, you know, you asked me last week, what did Tim do at Colorado State to get it done that it's not happening at Nebraska? And you know, I mentioned that he had a bunch of guys that weren't necessarily the first choice in a lot of places, but they were, you know, blue-collar guys that just he was able to foster that mentality of go out, outwork them, and beat them up. And if you don't beat them up, you know, within the rules of the game. And I think given that all that's transpired with him in the media, and maybe the players took some ownership of it. I don't know, because, you know, it's not all on Tim. At some point, you know, players have to say, you know, we're not getting the job done, and maybe we need to play with some more discipline. Maybe we need to play with some more heart. Maybe we need to. And maybe the players finally started to realize that a coach that they love is taking all the arrows, and they're the ones who are taking all the bad shots, and they're the ones who are taking time off. And granted, Nebraska, my theme from the beginning of the season has been they have not played with any sort of depth at all. Now, I think that falls on Tim. And a couple of things come to mind. They were so concerned about winning in the non-conference season, those quad one games, that they didn't have last year when they won 22. So Tim knows he's got two guys that are NBA caliber players, and he's got a couple of other guys that are really, really talented, probably not going to play in the NBA, but could play elsewhere. And then you don't have anything else, but you got to go beat Clemson. You have to win that game. You have to win the game against Creighton without question. So you have to get those quad win games in the non-conference season, and maybe you don't have the players at that point on the bench that you trust to get the job done, so you rely too heavily on your aces, right? Mm-hmm. And as the season goes on and you don't have the depth that is ready, and then you wear down your starting players. And I think that was a factor in Big Ten play, that Palmer and Roby and then Copeland gets hurt and Watson are just worn down, that you can't rely on depth that you didn't trust on earlier in the season. And now you've got a couple of guys who are true blood to the end of his career going, this is my last chance for dear old Nebraska U and a coach who gave me a chance to walk on. I'm going to go all out. That's the kind of effort that I used to see back in the day that Tim could get out of players that may not have the same kind of talent of a Palmer or a Copeland or a Roby or a Watson, but maybe they got more heart and maybe they're going to go out with a bang and they're going to beat you up if they don't beat you. And that's what Nebraska is seeing out of True Blood and the Viking and some of the other players. And I'm reading the recap of the game, right? I'm reading the recap of the game and it says Nebraska is relying on a rotation of seven players with the suspension of whoever the guy is. All right. I'm thinking, where was the seven-man rotation during the course of the regular season? There never was one. There wasn't an eight-man rotation. And therein lies the problem early on. But here you are in the tournament time, and your coach is coaching for his job. You're playing for your coach. Some of you are playing for the last time ever in a meaningful game outside of an Omaha pickup league. Why not go all out and look at the results?
Bill Dolman's with us on Hail Varsity
not
Radio.
Not that I have an opinion on it.
No, I know, but it's just funny how the shift of nothing to lose, house money, underdog has made all the difference in the world where your hand is forced right now. It's absolutely forced because of the injuries, because of suspension, whatever. I mean, the high-profile cream of the crop recruits are injured or suspended right now, and you're having to go with the walk-on kids or guys that earn scholarships, and it's been about heart the last 2 days. They out-scrapped Rutgers last night. They out-scrapped Maryland. Maryland looked like Nebraska looked most of the year this year, Bill, today.
Absolutely. And Nebraska, you know, didn't look a lot different, scoring, 69 points? I mean, they almost got to 70. But at this time of year, when players are playing for the last time, and they've got an opportunity and to do something special. What Nebraska's done through two games has been special. I think it's great to see the way they responded for their coach, because a lot of teams could mail it in given the way things have gone. But you know, go back to the first Iowa game. The Viking kid didn't even play, and I don't even know there were Vikings
just
in Iceland.
Just call him Thor. You're a professional. You've done it for 35 years.
Okay.
And I won't make you say his last name because
right.
I don't know that I can nail his last name.
Look, I have been doing international sports exclusively almost for the past 3 years, and I got more vowels and strange combinations than any broadcaster has ever had to go through. So thank you. So Thor played 1 minute in the first Iowa game. 1 minute.
The Viking.
Right? And yeah. What's he do in the last play of the last home game of the year? He's on the floor along with True Blood for like 25 minutes, and it's Thor's the guy who blocks the shot, right? So he's 1 minute in the first game, and then he makes one really big play in 25 minutes in the win over Iowa on senior night. They carry that momentum in. Nebraska's won 3 games. Do I think they're going to beat Wisconsin? I don't know. But it sure is great to see them play the kind of ball that I know that Tim can get out of players who may not have the same amount of talent of a Palmer or a Copeland. And can they win the whole thing? Who knows? But I'll guarantee you right now, Wisconsin's going, guys, I'm telling you, you're going to be in a fight tomorrow. And I'm telling you, Ohio State and Michigan State are looking over their shoulders at the other bracket going, you know what? Tim's got those guys playing really hard. And that's scary in a tournament setting like this, because Ohio State and Michigan State know that they're going to get in, right? And Wisconsin knows it's going to get in. And I watched so many of these major power conferences over the years when I was in the Mountain West, and they will walk their way through, waltz their way through a conference tournament because they know they're going to get in, and they don't want to get anybody hurt. They don't want to wear down their team, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you may not get a 100% effort out of some of those teams. I used to say the Mountain West Conference was the best conference tournament in the country, and people would say, well, the Big East, you got all these. Look, nine teams are getting in. In the Mountain West, you're getting the automatic bid and maybe one, maybe two others, and on a great year, you might have a fourth team in the conversation. So you had to have teams that got into their conference tournaments ready to fight. And Tim's teams fought in the Mountain West Conference tournament. And that's what I loved about his teams at Colorado State. That's why I thought he'd be a great fit at Nebraska. And that's why I continue to believe he would be a great fit at Nebraska. And I got a lot of comments on Twitter and elsewhere from my comments last week that I think he should stay. Now, I don't know what Bill Moose is going to do. But I'll guarantee you, next year when Nebraska assembles and they look around that room and they go, no James Palmer, no Copeland, no Watson. All right, guys, let's go fight. And Tim's the kind of guy that can get the fight out of the guys when it's called for. And that's what he's getting right now. And I believe he would get that next year, too.
Well, and I think you're right. He has gotten the fight out of them now. I think the frustrating part is that they weren't fighting earlier to be put into this position. And that's a fear. And that's also some history of not getting fight out of guys to follow up. I mean, this is the next question. If you're Bill Moose, what do you do? He wasn't there in Chicago today. He's out in Berkeley, and Bill Moose is out in Berkeley per the Journal Star, watching his kid play the spring game at Cal. His kid's a tight end out at Cal. So, what's that say to you, Bill? Other than he loves his boy, which you need to do. You need to love your family and go support your son. That said, it's a pretty critical time that you've set. I mean, you gave the parameters. You need to be on hand to watch it if you're going to make a move, don't you?
Yeah, I suppose so. But I'm guessing that Bill Moose knows where Tim Miles has been for the past several months, weeks, several days, several hours. And it was my understanding in reading up that he was going to be in Chicago yesterday. And maybe he saw what he needed to see in the win over Rutgers. And maybe they had whatever conversation. Maybe Tim knows something. He's relaxed, and he knows. Like he said, I'm still going to be a millionaire. I don't know. I really don't know. I think people tend to read through things way too much and want to read into things way too much. I cannot believe that Bill Moose and Tim Miles and Mark Boehm and everybody else involved haven't been in, some serious discussions about, what the future is going to be. I don't think it's like it was during the 4-year case of the flu when that dude disappeared into his sixth floor office and didn't talk to anybody on the coaching staff until they showed up for the Alamo Bowl that night. I mean, that's a fact. So I'm sure Bill Moose has been in communication with the people that he needs to be in with. People have cell phones these days. So maybe he saw what he needed to see. He's satisfied, or he said, look, I'm going to go watch my kid play. And I think people would understand that. And then he'll be back maybe in Chicago tomorrow or whenever.
I'm torn here. I'm not caught up in the moment of emotion and feel good where this is pretty. And it is really cool that Nebraska's making a run. Just because Nebraska basketball's been so roller coaster this year, it'd be par for the course for this team to get hot when they're absolutely depleted, right? They didn't live up to expectations, but when you counted them out is when they're at their best. So why not stay the weekend in Chicago?
What if they win tomorrow, right? They play tomorrow against Wisconsin. Now, they're 3 wins shy of where they were a year ago. Now, granted, the season's a lot different.
But they're 3-7 against the 3-7 against the top 25, and my old buddy Lars Anderson tweeted out because he loves Nebraska basketball even down in Roll Tide country that Nebraska's only 9 wins away from a national title.
Well, you know what? They said the same thing about Valvano in 1983.
Nebraska's only 9 wins away from a title, Bill.
I'm telling you, if Nebraska wins tomorrow, you know, it might be one of those things where they get so close and, you know, things don't go well the final day and they come up short. I'll guarantee you that in that committee room, if Nebraska reaches the Big Ten final, people are going to be looking at their resume.
Yep.
And I know that they had an awful, you know, 6-week slide in the conference, and they're not going to get in. But I guarantee people are going to go. Maybe not in the committee room. There's going to be coaches going, I hope Nebraska doesn't get in, because they know how good that team can be, and they know how hard they're playing right now. And you know, that's just, people don't want to play teams like that right now, and they don't want to play them in a conference tournament. Because you don't want to have to expend a ton of energy, you don't want to worry about a guy getting hurt, you know, scrambling for a loose ball or some such thing. Look at the conversation with Duke right now, and you know, this goes back to the first Carolina game when Zion Williamson got hurt. The question is, should he even play at all? You know, for his future, should Zion Williamson just sit out the entire ACC tournament and come back and play in the NCAA tournament? That's the conversation that those elite programs, those blue bloods, are having. Do we take time off? Do we really care about winning the ACC tournament anymore? Does anybody care about winning? Well, nobody cares about the Big East anymore. But do we care about that? Because all the focus is on the NCAA. And when the focus is on that, those teams like Nebraska are the ones that are playing well right now that scare the hell out of those blue bloods, because they don't want to have their national championship hopes or Sweet 16 hopes derailed by a team like that.
Bill Dolman's with us, NBC Sports, the Pride of Fairbury. Thoughts on Nebraska and Tim Miles. Bill covered Tim Miles through his career at Colorado State. And Bill, very important with the recommendation with Tim Miles coming to Lincoln. You've got you, Babcock, Bo Reed. You've got a number of people who are really respected and well-known and have known and covered sports for a long time and played. Bo Reed yesterday on the show said, I'm on record. I'm not in favor of a change if you go mid-major. And there's a lot of Tim Miles support out there, but there's some apathy that set in. And guess what, Bill? That bandwagon's going to fill up monstrously tomorrow. You got about 60 seconds. And does this erase this run in the postseason? Getting what he's getting out of kids that are overachievers, does this erase the letdown of the regular season? Has he done more with less?
No, I don't think it erases it. But right now, when that happened, you know, Nebraska's blessed to be on the Big Ten Network and every game is on and people get to see it, unlike the Pac-12 Network. You know, the thing is, though, right now, in two games on a national stage with national media, the attention of Chicago, Nebraska is getting a ton of press. They're getting a feel-good vibe. There's a lot of conversation about Tim Miles, and I believe that the vast majority of the basketball media community likes Tim, wants Tim to stay at Nebraska, and they think he's got a good thing. Next year's team is not going to be as talented. There's no question. You're going to lose in two guys that can play in the league. But if you get a guy, if you get Tim in an opportunity to, you know, play that kind of basketball, that you play hard and you honor the game and you honor the work ethic and the people of Nebraska, I think if Nebraska went 18-15 next year with a team like that, people would be happy. I shouldn't say happy, but I think they would be understanding of what they have. Just play hard. And I don't think that they got that necessarily during the course of the regular season. But right now they're getting it. And the nation is watching and talking about Nebraska and Tim Miles. And those kids that are part of what? The number one recruiting class at this point? Mm-hmm. They're watching and listening, too. And maybe this is solidifying their commitment.
Bill, thanks for the time today, bud. Great stuff.
Go Big Red. Go Biathlon.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big thanks to Bill Dolman, talking Nebraska basketball. Husker fans, have you changed your mind about this team the last couple of days, or is your memory a little bit longer? We welcome in historian, author, Hall of Famer, and tremendous with HaleVarsity.com and magazine at MD Babs on Twitter. Mike Babcock is with us. Babbers asked Bill this last segment, what was that? I'm going to ask you the same thing. What was that today?
Well, you know, this is a tough situation following Bill Dolman, even though he doesn't have opinions on things. But, yeah.
It's like old times, that? You two together. I love it.
What was that? That was a bunch of guys giving it everything they had, you know, and not a lot of guys either.
Yeah.
I agree with most of what Bill said. It's just Nebraska won that game with effort, and the inconsistency that we've seen during the season was the upside of the inconsistency, I guess, from the guys that have been playing all year. And then you put in a guy like Trueblood that gives you a great effort, and Thurier. I really thought when he finally got an opportunity toward the end of the season there, when they put him in a couple times, you know, his energy, that's the thing that he brought. We saw that, earlier when he got an opportunity, he got out there and he really went. And that's one of the things, that kind of energy, I think, that at times was lacking during the regular season. And so you put that in there, and you put Trueblood in there, I've always thought that Borkhardt just plays hard. He gives you everything that he's got, and so when you combine those guys with the other three, Palmer and Watson and Roby, really talented guys, and they're on the upside, because I thought there were times when Palmer wasn't at his best, and you know we know that Watson went through a slump there, where maybe more than once, where he just couldn't hit a shot. And I think with Roby, here's my amateur analysis of this. There was so much talk about him, you know, in the NBA and his NBA talent, and I think that he has that talent to develop. But, I don't think he's an NBA player now at this point. But when he hears that kind of stuff, I think it has an effect on him. And it seemed like at times maybe he was trying to play up to that level of those expectations rather than just playing. And so when you take all those factors into consideration, and then, again, you got nothing to lose here. Probably the teams that you're playing, particularly Maryland today, probably not taking you as seriously as maybe it should have. I just think it's a perfect storm, and very impressive win as you look at Nebraska basketball history. That's got to be one that you're going to remember.
You've got a couple of those, don't you, Mike? One Sunday with the miraculous comeback against Iowa, and today against Bruno, and against Cowan, against Turgeon, against Jalen Smith. Maryland is good enough to be an Elite Eight team. They are phenomenal. They just didn't want it bad enough, and I know that's an easy take to judge somebody on, but Nebraska out gutted them. That's what you got with Trueblood, and what you got with Borkhardt, and what you got with, as Bill calls him, the Viking.
Thor. Yeah.
You got that, and you've got a lineup, and I got an email here from Ted that said this is a roster that's more Tim Miles-like at Colorado State, where you've got guys that have to give 1,000% maximum effort versus guys that are just naturally gifted and talented where it comes easy, and sometimes the gas pedal's not all the way down on the floor. You've got a great mix of guys that can get it done. Palmer was – that's the thing, Mike. You had kind of a Creighton first half by Nebraska. I know they didn't shoot great, but I'm saying from an efficiency standpoint, you got to go back to that Creighton game or the Indiana game, honestly, one of those two, to find the last time you've had Watson and Palmer be so efficient where they're taking 10 or 11 shots to get 20. And they were just patient. The offense was patient. It was poised. And it was really fun to watch today.
Yeah, no, and I think that, you know, it showed that they had a, you know, Tim Miles had a good game plan, and the players bought into it. You know, they did play. They didn't get out there and try to run. You know, they played the tempo that they needed to play, and then when you combine that with effort, hustle, giving it everything you had, you know, it ended up being a recipe for success. And you know, there's a little bit of foul trouble there, and you just can't afford to have foul trouble when you got the roster that Nebraska has available right now. So it was a joy to watch. And you're right, the Iowa thing, that finish was just remarkable. I had told my wife going into the game I thought Nebraska was going to win the game, and you know, afterwards I said, see, you know, they're in Nebraska won the game, but there's no way it, you know, I was figuring that prediction was wrong, but you know, again, this is what you get when you put in the effort and when you've got some really talented players that are playing at the top of their game, which I think, you know, that was the case today.
Mike Babcock, a few more minutes with us. HailVarsity.com and magazine at MD Babs on Twitter is where you follow him and you read him with Hail Varsity. Mike, I wanted to get your take here on Bill Moose not being in Chicago today. Was there yesterday. Chris Bassnett reporting on social media that you didn't have Moose there, and he's there. He's out in Cal watching his boy play ball, which I applaud. I'll miss some shows during the summer to watch Junior. Hopefully, hit some gappers, you know, on the baseball diamond. I mean, it's important to be a good dad. That said, do you think it's peculiar timing? I asked Bill that question. Kind of wants your take, or do you think a decision's? Let me add a second part. Do you think a decision's been made, or is Bill just kind of letting this thing play out for Tim?
Well, you know, I listened to Bill Dolman's explanation of that, and I, you know, I think he had a pretty good. I think he broke it down pretty well. I mean, I'm with you. It's kind of a family first thing with me. My initial thought was, oh boy, that's not good, you know. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, the way Bill Dolan explained it, I think it's not like, okay, you know, whatever happened today, that's going to be what's going to determine the, you know, Tim Miles' fate or whatever. I think it's more studied than that. I'm sure that they've had discussions there. Mark Bames has been involved in that as well. And so I think it was, there was some clarity there that Tim Miles had about the situation that didn't require that Bill Moose be there in a family context. You know, now Bill mm-hmm. Moose be there tomorrow, certainly. And so you obviously you want the support of the athletic director, but again, I think the family thing trumps that if it's in a proper context, which. Again, I believe that it has to be. I mean, it's not. They didn't go into the tournament, or they didn't go into the Iowa game saying, "Well, you know what? You need to win this game and then a couple of games in the tournament before this and this happens," or you know, whatever. I think there's some clarity there. That was a word I used, but I think Tim understands, and I think I think Bill Moose and Mark Boehm have an understanding of what it is they wanted to do.
Mike, about 2 minutes here. Let's flip over to spring football. And what storyline are you kind of most drawn to so far, as the guys have one more day of practice tomorrow and then it's a spring break? Has it been kind of that growth of the offensive line? Has it been Darian Daniels? Has it been JoJo Doman? What's kind of piqued your radar?
Well, you know, I offensive line is always, I always bring that up. You know, that's always important thing. And I talked to one of the people that talked to Doman yesterday. He's really a good guy and a talented guy. It sounds like outside linebacker is kind of where they got him fitting in, but he plays a position they call it's kind of a nickelback thing, kind of a deal. And you know, I guess the other thing was Javon DeWitt, just the battle, you know, that he's going through, and the fact that he's, you know, refuses to step aside and that he's out there on the field set an example. And, that's pretty impressive to me. But the offensive line is always important to me. And you know, how the defensive line, offensive and defensive line is going to determine, you know, how successful you are. So, got a new defensive line coach there. It seems like it's going to be interesting to see how those guys relate to the new defensive line coach. Cinco, that's the thing I was trying to think of. Doman said that's the official nickname for his position now, with him playing it. He's Cinco.
Okay, I like that.
So you got that going for you right there.
Cinco is the way it is. Mike Babcock, yep. Historian, author, Hall of Famer. Hale Varsity, .com and magazines where you read him. Babers, thanks for jumping on and talking a little hoops and a little football. What a crazy day for the Big Red as they stay alive in Chicago. A lot of fun chatting. We'll see you soon, bud. Thanks so much.
Hey, never a dull moment.
Absolutely right. He's on it. Yeah, never a dull moment. And great stuff from Mike Babcock. Open phones, rest of the show for you. Can join us 466-3776. 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Can also email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Can also tweet at Schmidt_radio or at Two Birds, One Stone, Colton Stone. We'll put a bow on what a crazy day. And a reminder, ESPN Lincoln and many of our affiliates will have Nebraska, Wisconsin tomorrow at 2. And we'll be back at Longwell's tomorrow for another watch party. We'll wind down an abbreviated Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery?
Yes! That's awesome!
Back here at Longwell's Hail Varsity Roadshow Thursday as we're down here for the Big Ten tournament in Nebraska, able to beat Maryland 69-61. James Palmer Jr., 24 points, 5 boards, 3 assists. More thoughts on Nebraska. Colton, do we have Deb with us?
Yes, we do.
Deb, you're going to need to send about 13 spas up to Chicago to give those boys in red and white a rest. How are you?
I'm afraid Coach Miles probably could use a hot tub. He might be kind of sore today after his little spill last night.
You know what? I'm sure that's on his mind. Okay, he's making the list here. Beat Maryland, get by Rutgers, beat Wisconsin, call Deb the spa lady, and get me a spa to make sure I rest that back and rear region once you fall. And make world news, right? I mean, wow.
Oh, that'd be something I'd do. My spotlight would be me doing something like that. But then again, I've got the remedy, so let it go.
And depending on how tall you are, you have the perfect height and size of selection for spas, don't you? You have 2-seaters, 4-seaters, and one big enough for the whole team.
That's right. We have two-person spas. We have all the swim spas for the whole team, and we've got them in stock, which that's the biggest deal. Yes, great prices. We get it delivered right away. Our guys are out there delivering in this rain and wind and snow and every element that you guys are getting, you know, back home. We're not actually in Lincoln right now, but boy, we're sure watching the weather.
Well, Deb, I'm sure you're in a – can I guess and say you're in a warmer spot?
No.
Okay.
Oh, we're down at Lake of the Ozarks, so it's about the same kind of weather, but dry.
Well, but you're in the Lake of the Ozarks, and good for you. Bitter here. That's okay. That's all right. Well, we're happy for you, and you can go see Deb the Spa Lady, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, spasonline.com, and, of course, off Industrial Road in Omaha when you want to get that spa. Someday I will watch an NCAA tournament game from a hot tub, from a spa, from Deb the Spa Lady. That's one way to do it. But, Deb, it's almost tournament time. It's no better time to get your bracket picked out, and you have the mother of all brackets for spa selection. I mean, make it your own selection Sunday and come see you on a Saturday, not necessarily a Sunday, but hours again, Deb, for folks to come see you.
They can come see us at in our Lincoln or Omaha locations, 10 to 6 Monday through Friday and 10 to 4 on Saturday. You could get your bracket done, laminate it, and then, sit there and watch every game if you'd like.
That'll work. How far do you have your Jayhawks going before we say goodbye?
Oh, boy, I haven't got that far yet. We'll have to see. Let's just get through tonight.
That'll work. Survive in advance and go see Deb the Spa Lady, 20th and Highway 2, Home Innovation Spa, spasonline.com, off Industrial Road in Omaha. Deb, you take care. Enjoy the Ozarks, and thanks for a few minutes.
Will do. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
All right. You're awesome. That's Deb the Spa Lady. More comments here from Tim Miles coming up in just a second as Nebraska able to get by Maryland. They kicked Maryland's butt for most of the game and then hung on and played really un-Nebraska-like. If we just want to be honest about where Nebraska's focus has been a lot of this year, you can count on one hand probably there's been examples of it in the Miles era. You saw Michigan a year ago where Nebraska dismantled them, the Creighton game, and the Indiana game. Those are the three games that Nebraska played. That's the best Nebraska's played in decades, right? Well, Nebraska had one of those today against a team that barely escaped Nebraska when they were at full strength, mutilated Nebraska when they were injured. Nebraska's kind of found their sea legs right now, and they are about winning in a blue-collar style and playing efficient offense, and that goes for Glenn, and that goes for JPJ. And no time like the present to start doing that. Colton, let's roll some of this Tim Miles post-game and his thoughts here as Nebraska survives to meet Wisconsin tomorrow at 2, and you'll hear it on ESPN Lincoln.
Is there a sense that you guys can make a run here now after the last two nights?
Well, I don't know. I'm unplugged, so I don't know all I know some of the noise around us pertains to me. And so, but the other noise about where we fit in, the NCAA or the NIT, I don't know, and I'm not interested in. I just know that if we can win enough, they can't stop us from playing. So that's what we're doing.
You made it through the tunnel unscathed.
I did. I traversed, the mountaintop. Yeah, I got to the, and it was awesome to come out because I'm sore today a little bit, playing hurt.
He's playing hurt, and that was pretty honest answer there from Miles on, let's put a run together, man. And he's not sure if they're now part of the last eight out. Creighton got worked today, 2-point loss. Clemson blew an 18-point lead to NC State in an elimination game. Indiana got beat today, down 20, and came back and lost by 4. Ohio State's in, and you'd think is pretty solidly in right now with 19 wins and with some of their situations. I mean, Nebraska, I'd say at worst right now is an NIT team. And at best, they have a chance to knock off Wisconsin. Nebraska's record again against ranked opponents is 4-7. And there's a few of those that the woulda, coulda, shouldas. I just think it's extremely impressive how Nebraska's getting it done. Not just that they are getting it done, but who they're getting it done with. And you hear Coach Miles talk about this all the time. Run to the fight. Don't run from the fight. Well, you get guys like Thor and Johnny Trueblood, those guys have always just been gritty, right? They've just needed the chance to be gritty somewhere other than practice. circumstances has forced that hand, and they've been pretty good. And you look at the plus minuses right now. Johnny Trueblood's played 52 minutes in the last two games. He scored 3 points, but with his production, he's plus 38, man. Nebraska's plus 38 when he's on the floor. That's incredible that Nebraska's outscored their opponent by 38 when he's on the floor. And the thing I like about Trueblood and Thor is they just move. They move, and no one's standing around, and no one's settling. There's always some sort of movement. There's always some sort of hustle. It's like they're triggered to be on alert, even a little bit more of an alert when Trueblood and Thor are in, because they're not Copeland or Thomas Allen or as ballyhooed a players. James Palmer Jr., he's kind of been a guy that you've loved and then you've been frustrated with. Well, everybody's in love with JPJ again. He was so good. Had a bad start last night, finished incredibly, and then was just monstrous today. His efficiency was off the charts. That is something that's been rare. But when you get it, and when you get it with him and Watson, Nebraska is pretty hard to beat. We'll say goodbye from Longwell's next. Hail Varsity continues after this.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back one final time here at Longwell's down in the rail yard. Great to be with you. Hail Varsity Radio, Chris Schmidt. Colton Stone, Nebraska, a winner today. We'll have the Nebraska-Wisconsin game on tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock on ESPN Lincoln. Many of our affiliates around the great state of Nebraska with Hail Varsity Radio. Also with Nebraska basketball coverage. And we'll follow immediately after the Nebraska Wisconsin game. A reminder, your friends at Sauter Heyman, they're here for you tournament time and beyond. 1 carat diamond right now. Sauter Heyman offering a spectacular 1 carat diamond solitaire for just $100 a month. That's less than the price of a cup of coffee per day to show her how much she means to you. Whether it's that first ring you're buying her or it's time to upgrade, Sauter Heyman is there for you. And think about this, it's a limited time offer. And a special chance for you to get something she will love and adore forever. That 1 carat diamond solitaire, just $100 a month. You can log on today, SauterHeyman.com, and go visit Rick today at Sauter Heyman, your friends at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. What a win for Nebraska. Colton, let's jump on here, brother. I know we said Nebraska'd squeak out by Rutgers. I don't know that I gave a prediction yesterday on oh, yeah, here I found it. I said Nebraska 69-61 over Maryland. Yeah, right. I thought the music would end today, and we'd be talking about do you keep him, do you fire him. Well, Nebraska now is probably going to be in the NIT, mm-hmm. if you want to be serious about it. I know that they've played like garbage a lot during this season, but I'm very impressed with how they have played and responded this postseason, kind of with the backs against the wall. Throw in the cliche you want to throw in, but it's no slouch to beat Maryland. And they were flat-out dominant mm-hmm. against Maryland today, and they were dominant with lesser talent. But you know what? They had more heart. They had more want to. That's how Nebraska's won with Tim Miles. That's how this team won a lot last year. That's how this team won a lot in 2014. Okay, now they just needed to stop being pretty boys, man, and that's what a lot of it was this year. They got down and dirty, and they were grinders today. They'll face the ultimate grinder team tomorrow in Wisconsin. Maryland was only favored by 6.5 today. I got to think Wisconsin's favored by 7. Do you get Thomas Allen back tomorrow? Does he start? I don't think you mess with this chemistry you got. I think you keep rolling with Trueblood and his hustle and his extra chances he gives you. Same with Thor. I think they've been the difference. And Borchardt as ticked off as I get with some of his misses around the rim for putting our fan hat on, and is sometimes as, you know, Nebraska has problems catching the ball down in the paint. He has been huge. He has been a banger down low, and it's been nice. Does Nebraska have one more in him tomorrow, Colton?
I'm going to get out on that ledge and say yes. I think I'm going to get out ahead of it and say yes. If they don't, I think the NIT is probably where they're destined to go. I did a little math. True Blood, 77 minutes, 8 points, plus 48 since Iowa.
That's huge. That is huge. Colton, your money. Thanks for doing this today, bud. We'll make it happen tomorrow again in Longwells, and we'll be here to reminisce Nebraska, Wisconsin. As a Husker, still alive in Chicago. Talk to you again tomorrow at 4. Thanks.